May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
First of all, a special thanks to David Charles Campbell for lending me his conductor stool so that you all could see me. There's nothing wrong about wanting to see a piece of heaven, wanting to feel God so close and wonder so near. And the good news for you and me today is that the glimpse of glory the disciples see on the mountain is not the only place where heaven and earth collide. Wanting a mountaintop experience, wanting a touch of the divine, makes sense. We have loved ones who are in mental, spiritual, and physical pain. We wonder how we can keep up with all the expectations placed upon us by ourselves and others. And too often, we wonder if we're good enough for God. And we long for being on a mountain. We long for feeling those mountaintop experiences, times in which we know delight and amazement and the presence of the divine. And after all, we know about mountains. I mean, just look at where we are. Being on a mountain feels good. We can feel the wind in our hair, the sun on our face, the sky wrap around us like a soft blanket. On a mountain, we can sense how awesome and real God is. And on the other hand, we know about valleys, the places where the dust settles, the roads wind into hidden places. And there are some places in the valleys where we don't feel as safe as we do on a mountain. So no wonder we want to stay there as long as we can. As soon as we're back in the valley, we often find ourselves daydreaming about the good old times. We say, if only I could go back and stay. Now, this thought seems to be in Peter's heart as well. So here he is on the mountain with James, John, and a changed Jesus that's dazzling white. And Peter wonders how to keep this moment forever. So he says, "Teacher, it is so good for us to be here together. Let's make three memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And all Peter wants to do is to make a place for these holy people to dwell on this glorious mountain forever. And then all of a sudden, a cloud overshadows them, and from that cloud there comes a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Now, it's important at this point of the story to remember that just a few days earlier, Jesus rebuked Peter for saying that Jesus did not have to undergo suffering and die. Jesus let the crowd and the disciples know that if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. So God the Son has already rebuked Peter, and now God the Father is trying to get Peter's attention, is trying to say suffering is part of who Jesus is and part of what it means to follow him. And before Peter can understand what's going on, the cloud disappears, Jesus turns back to normal, the voice becomes silent, and Moses and Elijah are gone. And as if nothing spectacular happened, as if heaven and earth did not kiss each other, they go back down the mountain. And as they travel, Jesus commands them not to say a word until after the Son of Man is risen from the dead. And once back in the valley, Jesus returns to healing. And James and John, two of the ones on the mountain, what do? Our friends James and John, they argue over who will be the greatest. And Jesus explains, again, suffering, servanthood. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. So what are we to make of this mountaintop experience? And if serving and suffering are important, if we're not supposed to memorialize Jesus on a mountain, then what are we supposed to do? If we're not called to stay on the mountain, where exactly are we called to go? Now, we don't know the specific answer to this question, but one thing seems quite clear. Our time on the mountain is not meant to stand alone, but alongside going down the mountain and serving in the valley. Now, I'd like to share a couple of stories with you about serving in the valley. There's a young couple who has a toddler who has just turned 2. That young couple has just experienced the death of a brother and a sister. And the husband's mother, her health is not well at all. And they anticipate that mother coming to live with them. So they're making all these adjustments on their old house, looking for the new house. And a week before they go into their home that has a whole apartment in the basement for the husband's mother, she dies. Now talk about a valley. 3 deaths and a year and a half. So the wife makes one call. And in a matter of moments, there are 25 friends who are at their home helping them move from the old place to the new, sitting with them, bringing them meals, and letting them know that nothing can separate them from the love of God. Now that's a glimpse of heaven in the valley. And let me tell you another story. Imagine a dimly lit schoolroom. I know we've all seen them. Where there's a young boy around 7 years old who has really been looked down on by his teacher, his classmates, because he can't read. So he's sent away to be with a resource teacher almost 2 hours a day, and the resource teacher discovers that he understands everything the stories are about. He might not be able to read the words, but he understands plot. He understands characters. He understands what the writer was trying to get across. So imagine that moment in the valley, in that darkly lit room, when the resource teacher discovers this gift of his and looks at that boy and says, "I'm proud of you. I am thankful for your gift of being able to understand stories. Won't you teach us how to do that with our next story next week?" Now that is a little glimpse of heaven in the valley. And there are many more stories. So brothers and sisters, to follow Jesus means to be willing to leave the mountain. Following Jesus is about seeing what he sees in the valley: pain, dis-ease, and most importantly, the dignity of every human being and all of God's creation. Now, this way is a hard way. It's the way of the cross. But the way of the cross is also the way of peace. The way of the cross is the way on which we will have glimpses of the living God dazzling in all of Christ's glory. So you see, mountains are not the only place where heaven and earth collide. The kingdom of God that is already unfolding is in the valley too. As Mother Teresa says so poignantly, we have it in our power to be in heaven with him at this very moment. But being happy with him now means something different. It means loving as he loves, helping as he helps, giving as he gives, serving as he serves, rescuing him as he rescues, being with him 24 hours, touching him in his distressing disguise. So being in heaven is about being with Jesus in the valleys too. Thanks be to God.